Cooler.
Why not, Saul?
So Joella, I talked to him in Switzerland the other day, and he's asked me to get that mastered. So that's an old Blonde song. Like, so we could. It's almost 20 years old.
That's pretty cool.
It's funny. That's how like long that was ago. There's like we have like 5 really good songs that never got released to the world, and then a bunch of like demo recordings that are out there.
Yeah.
I heard that. That's the falsetto one. Anyway.
It was the falsetto one. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I don't think I've heard that one. It was just on the
That's a good library. One. That's a cool one. I had to sing really high on that one. I don't think I could do it anymore. When you do that in your 20s, you lose it. It's like my meatloaf abilities have gone away.
I kind of want to see you be meatloaf.
I would love to be meatloaf.
We should do a meatloaf. Can we please do a meatloaf tribute?
That's world tour stuff.
Just one night only.
I could
please.
There's no more meatloaf, so you can sell it out.
No, because I could. Theater. No, I have a rare ability. Meatloaf. If you're dead, I can emulate you.
You can do it. It's so
not once you die. Like I can imagine. Once you die,
like once Mick Jagger dies, like I got the Stones next. I'm close, but I receive their energy. Little small facts about Baxter. Oh, it's like Thundercats somehow.
He grows one strange wild hair, and that's their dead ability.
So I mean, more Highlander. He goes and kills him.
So the good news is we're having a Casino Guitars date night to see Batman tonight. Except for Johnny,
because I hate everyone.
Because you have to go to your stupid.
I'll let you know how good it is.
It's going to be,
or
amazing.
It could be the biggest letdown ever.
Well, Paul and Molly like didn't think it was the greatest, which means it's going to be awesome.
Okay, all right.
Because like they tend to. Like,
he didn't like the Joker either. He's like,
no, he didn't like the Joker.
And what?
He's like, I wish he would have been like more buff. I'm like, of course you do, Paul. Of course you do.
I mean, kind
of. I want to be buffer and like more angrier or something.
And hotter.
I did read a review last night.
Where's the bat nipples?
Like the most emo. Like
that's
weird,
okay.
Ever.
That's the new. Cool. That's what we are now.
I mean, it was only like $130 million opening weekend.
Yeah,
for a DC one too. This isn't the Marvel universe or whatever.
Anyway. Yeah, but I mean, Batman's the only thing they've ever really done right. But anyways, okay.
Batman's amazing. They've all been great. So yeah, we're going to talk about all sorts of things today, right? We're going to talk about like funny stories, right. But like
Came up. Yeah.
Well, no, but we just started like with it's. I want to talk about like. Buying guitars online and the etiquette of that in a little bit.
Ooh.
And Reverb in particular, like the customers on Reverb. We had a fun guy, Jeremy Guitar Hunter, came in the other day. He sort of pulled all of his stuff off of Reverb because of the quality of customer is insanely bad sometimes. But
no offense if you're a good Reverb customer.
No, because I mean, like
you rare few.
No, there's a lot. It's a really great place to buy and sell musical instruments. We're just dealing with this one gentleman. It's so funny because he got a guitar from us and he's like, hey, he sent us a request for, hey, the guitar, I'm just not bonding with it. Can I return it? You know, it's just not exactly what I want. I'm like, no problem, 100%. Just we'll get a shipping thing ready for you. If you'll just help cover the shipping there, we got you. You know, because we're not Sweetwater. We can't just pay shipping for you to try guitars all the time.
No restocking fee.
Nothing
crazy. No hidden things.
Just shipping. Yeah.
Last thing I want you to do is have a guitar you don't love. And so he's like, cool, that's awesome. You guys are the best. We're like, awesome, cool. And then later we get like thinking a refund request, like, this is the reason I'm returning the guitar. Like, it's messed up because of X, Y, Z, and Q. All bullshit.
Yes.
It's all bullshit, 100%. And if he's listening to this right now,
are like
you were full
crazy.
Of shit.
So, yeah.
But because I looked at the pictures, and normally I would not say that, but it was so funny. And I don't have time to really bother with a lot of it because I'm really busy a lot here. But I was like, let me see this.
Yeah, it was pretty intense too. Like just the length of his refund request message compared to what his initial. He seemed really chill whenever he had messaged us directly,
talking
just
to
saying,
us.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, I just couldn't bond with it. And then it's like
100% okay then.
This whole crazy thing about like tuning stability and stuff. And you know, we check every guitar
scuffs,
before it leaves. We make sure
jack,
that it's clean.
The nut. It's like, oh.
And all these things that it, yeah, I mean, it was like.
And I just sent him a message too, a very nice message. I'm very polite when I respond to people. As Sean,
you're the best at that.
I'm very good at that. And it was just, you know, letting him know we're initiating the refund based on your initial request for it and the messages. And it's all logged and saved. And we'll get it taken care of for you, minus the shipping. I'm hoping we get a response during this podcast.
That would be fantastic.
That would be wonderful. Be like,
I did that on purpose.
Screw you, Baxter.
There were so many things wrong with it. I just didn't realize that's what it was because I don't want to. Because he's trying to get out of paying any shipping right now is what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm almost 99% sure that's what happens. And that's the thing is, like, as a customer, when you're buying from shops, it's not a revolving door. It's not a mall.
No,
I mean, and these guitars, these are built by hand. A lot of them.
That's the same customer who would come in and pick up a guitar on the wall and be like, oh, has anyone else ever touched this? I cannot believe you'd sell me this. This is used. The same customers who are assholes in both ways.
I don't understand that customer.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or we get guys like our friend Hank, who he bought. Right. Like, I like Hank. He's hilarious. He bought a Les Paul from us. He's like, hey, man, I'm just not buying with him. I'm like, no problem. Bring it back. He's had it for a few weeks, maybe a month. It's Hank, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's a pre-owned piece already. Right. It's pre-owned still.
There you go.
If it was a new piece, it's a different situation.
Yes.
But we love that guy. And like, I know that's what Hank does.
I feel
he's
like
my boy.
We always try and go out of our way, or at least, like I said, we try to make sure that everybody feels good about the situation. You know, if they get a guitar, we want them to love that guitar. And if they don't, you know, we work it out so that it, you know, hopefully isn't as bad.
And I'm talking to a gentleman in France right now on the emails, sort of as we're doing this podcast. He's interested in a guitar, and I'm not sure if it's the right fit for him. Yeah. Would I like to sell him this guitar as a business person? Yes. But that's not what we are. We're not business people. We're guitar players.
That's right.
That happen to be in a business. You know, and so we're trying to give him an honest answer on this guitar because it's very expensive. And I know he's a good player, and it might not be the right guitar for him. So we take that seriously. But as a, you know, I'm still a customer. I still buy guitars, and I still buy amps all the time. We bought one yesterday. And, like, when I buy it, I buy it with respect, and I buy it with the understanding that I'm buying this piece. If there's something drastically wrong with it, let's talk about it so I can return it. But I don't make excuses.
No.
Because I wear my big boy pants today.
Yes.
I wear them every day.
That's right.
I'm a grown man.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think some people, I don't know. I know for me, at least, whenever we go and play a guitar in a guitar store, sometimes if there ever has been, and I'm talking like Guitar Center here, there's no setup on it or anything like that, I think to myself, you know, it would be nice if this had a proper setup. I could set it up, you know, and I kind of run through all those things. I don't think like, oh my God, this is horrific. This is terrible. You know, and I'm like ready to burn the business down. I'm like,
take that point, and that's happening here where the guitar's not set up to the customer's liking. Let's take Hank.
Yep.
We restrung it. We did the wrap over for the bridge.
That's right.
We got different strings on there. He took it home. He's had it for a few weeks, and he still decided he didn't like it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Or we do it all the time. Like, well, if there's a guitar that I'm not comfortable with the strings on it when a customer's trying, like, will you give us 20 minutes? We're going to change these strings, get it set properly.
Yep.
So you can have the real experience of playing this guitar.
We try and stay on top of our setups and restrings in store, but, you know, something is bound to slip through the cracks like
that.
Not
much,
though.
We're really good about that. Some of the pre-owned pieces in the used little section will not get as much love, but that's
sure.
You know, but they're also $150 guitars sometimes.
Versus, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah.
Like, no, yeah. So it's just the online like shenanigans of like when you don't like a guitar and you're just doing the buy trade thing.
Yeah.
Or, let's say you just want to buy it, see if you like it, and you want to return it, and you don't want to pay that shipping, or you don't want to. These people make up excuses. We see it happens all the time. This is just the most recent one.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to, you're thinking about buying a above $2,000 guitar, seems to me like, you know, 60, 70, 80 bucks to be able to try it out and then send it back.
It's not bad.
Like 100% agree.
Yes.
Totally worth it. I'd take that deal any day of the week.
Yeah. Because you can almost look at it as like a rental fee. You know what I mean? Because this guy's had this guitar for almost 4 days, I think.
Well, it's like a convenience thing, right? You're going to send me this guitar. I'm going to, you know, assuming that I keep it in the exact same condition, I can try it with my rig at home. I can see if I bond with it for a few days.
Absolutely.
And then I can send it back if not, you know. Yeah. And I pay nothing if I decide to buy it, right?
Because
we cover the shipping to ship it to you. And then if you decide, hey, I'm going to return this, you're out. $70, $80, $100 at the most. You know what I mean? I'd absolutely.
Hey, Derek, how much did it cost me around that lens?
About $150.
And we tried a lens for a week just to try it, and just found we didn't like it. That's
right.
Totally acceptable to us.
Yeah.
If I get to rent a nice Fender guitar.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, $5,000, piece of equipment. You know,
I work with a rental company. Fat Sounds a lot up in Sanford, and when we rent pieces, it's a few hundred bucks per day.
Yeah.
You know, to rent like a nice thing sometimes, like drums are going to be quite a few hundred dollars with all the hardware, and they bring it, set it up for us, and they do the shipping type idea. Yeah. But that's part of the, I don't know. I think it's just something to note. I'm bitching and moaning here a lot. That's okay. Let's move on to happier thoughts. So the war in Ukraine. I'm kidding. It was fun though. No, it's nice seeing. Let me see Derek's fingers. Let me see how they look. Any painting last night?
Nope, there was no painting last night. Just a lot of vinyl siding.
Derek's been installed. Putting a new wall.
Yes, Derek. Derek's had a hell of a weekend. We'll put it that way.
We're going on 2 weeks straight of yeah. Sister shenanigans.
I know. I say weekend. It's really been. It's probably been 30 plus years. You know.
Let's play a game. Raise your hand if you have a crazy sister. That would be three suckers. Out of the four of us.
God, we'll
not
funny.
Say who. We'll not say whose answer it is.
I every time I see my sister's husband, I'm like, man, you are such a patient man. I just don't. He's like, no, she's great. He just says it with that sort of look of fear. It's a little Stockholm syndrome.
But the hole in the wall of the exterior of the house has now been fully repaired.
I know Derek had a whole wall. He had a whole wall that was just gone.
Gone.
He was sending us pictures throughout this process.
It looked like a missile had hit it.
I was like, what is going on?
A hole in the side of the house.
It was almost like kind
of
like a warship, you know, like an old tiny pirate boat kind of thing. Yeah, a big hole in it. It's insane. You're like, yeah, I got some rot. It's like, damn it, man.
I mean, you sent the picture, and I was like, man, is the whole house going to, like, collapse? It looked, I was like, God, I guess that was a load.
It's like right underneath some windows. The windows are basically free-hanging at this point. It's like, how the hell?
I did have a solid support beam that I installed a temporary
holy
support.
Lord.
Maybe smart. Maybe that was a good idea.
Yeah, so if you have any home improvement stuff.
I feel we should just have this on in the background as we're talking.
Baxter's been on a Bjork.
I mean, look how precious she is.
Like a mega kick.
Mega just kick. For like 3 days.
Oh, God, hell no. It's been like almost a week.
If Baxter could ever actually run into Bjork, the trajectory of his life would be changed.
I know.
Lots of loads being tossed to Bjork this week.
It's kind
of
like Skylar whenever she does her.
She's beyond that. I would never defile her.
I would never.
No. This is the video of her being interviewed on MTV for like the red carpets or something about doing a song with Madonna. And it's such a funny story because she's they're asking her like, oh, did Madonna reach out to you? She's like, no, I've never met Madonna, never talked to her. It's like, well, how are you doing? It's like, well, Madonna asked my friend to do this song, and my friend asked me to help write a song, so I'm helping my friend. It's really for him. Like, that's awesome. And like, she has no awareness of what she's supposed to say, like to like get in Madonna's graces or like this game, and she's just this little crazy Icelandic. Perfect person.
Are you a Madonna fan? Not really.
Because Jonathan and I, we were talking about jam bands the other day. No, you a fan? No, don't care. Never listen to her music. Good. Don't know who she is. No. I mean, her voice is so perfect. I just love her every time she talks.
It's not proper. It's not proper.
Oh, so it's Oasis and Bjork. We've built a new layer.
Well, no, because I am like obsessed with Sigur Rós and stuff too. I've been like with, and then I remember watching them on, how was it? The big, I just forgot his name. The big tall redhead guy that has had the TV show late night.
Conan.
Thank you, Conan O'Brien. I remember the first time like they were on like any live American. I think it was Conan O'Brien. Like, I think he was even confused because he was like, "What is going on?
What have I just witnessed?" Right.
Like they're singing. It's like what's
so
happening?
So I listened to the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast all the time, which is a great one. So definitely tune into that as well. But you know, Conan is a huge guitar player.
Yes.
Huge guitar player and a huge Gretsch lover.
Which is wild. I saw the
video.
Which
makes sense because he is a huge guy. He's tall.
Yeah.
He is a big old dude.
So I saw him in New York once. I was listening last night and he was talking about when he wrote for The Simpsons. He had this huge, you know, Conan's got that kind of that wave going on with his hair in the front. So he grew his like lamb chop sideburns back in the day, and he'd get out his Gretsch and he'd start playing this really obnoxious rockabilly, and they named it Conabilly.
Or just rockabilly.
That could be, yeah.
Just kidding, but, I actually like rockabilly.
Conan has a great guitar collection.
On the topic of Conan too, Derek, you informed me of this. There's a show on Netflix called Murderville.
Yeah.
That Conan was on an episode of. That show is hilarious.
Did you watch it yet, Johnny?
No, Murderville?
Amazing.
Watch it. Should we tell him, like, let's just, you know, like, tell him just, like, the, I guess, like, the antithesis
of the
show.
So the idea of the show is, right, it's all unscripted. Well, it's all scripted except for the guest actor.
Oh, you guys,
They are all reacting to everybody that's scripted. Yes. So they have no script to follow. And it's based off of a detective series, like a CSI.
It's like Law and Order SVU.
Conan is the first special guest. And it's got Will Arnett. He's the detective. And the scene it is so great when they're in the diner.
Yes.
And they keep putting the hot sauce on his Slappy Joe.
Where's this on?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Murderville?
Okay. Murderville.
So, like, I'll watch a minute.
There's a scene where Conan, so Will Arnett forces the actor to, like, be in situations and to talk their way through it.
Yeah.
And he tells him, he's like, tell the kid that his mom's dead. And Conan, like, gets down on one knee and he's like, yeah, so, and he just starts, like, rambling, and he's like, the kid's like, what does that mean? He's like, they're dead. Your mom's dead. They're dead.
Yeah, so the guest actors, it's like Marshawn Lynch is one of them.
He's great.
Sharon Stone is another one.
They got the guy from the Hangover.
Yeah, what's his name? The doctor.
Jin Kim or something like that, isn't it? Something like
the
that.
The Asian guy from the Hangover. Yeah. Everybody knows who we're talking about. And then who else? A couple other people, but it is hilarious.
Oh, the Conan one. I'll take a look at that.
The Conan one was great.
You know how I know Paul and Molly's review of Batman is not good? Because they said Yellowstone sucks. And I said the entire guitar shop loves Yellowstone. I haven't seen it yet.
I know.
How could you think Yellowstone sucks?
And they probably hate Pride and Prejudice, too. And these are really good friends of mine, but they have some whack music movie taste. Yeah. When you guys started talking about Simpsons, all I could think about was my conversation with Eric from Martin yesterday. And he was describing his in-law. He says, my father-in-law is great. He's he reminds me of Mr. Burns. I'm like, what? There's nothing great about Mr. Burns. He's like, he always does the hand thing. I was like, he's just some creepy old rich white man. He's like, kind of. Yeah. I'm like, that's great. I love that.
He's always trying to scam everybody.
He didn't say kind of. I made the kind of part up, but it was funny. It was a weird little moment there. Yeah, so that's my riff on The Simpsons.
I like it. The Simpsons is great. The Simpsons. All right, on to bigger and better
things. Take it into us, Johnny.
Jonathan told me a story the other day that blew my freaking mind. I was like, holy hell. So that's starting up this whole talk on this side of the podcast, being your wildest, weirdest, and worst gig stories ever by far. And I think Jonathan should start with this exact story, because I don't think he's ever told. I've known Jonathan for about 4 years now. Never heard this story.
It's funny because I guess thinking about it, the story is sort of like extreme, but I wouldn't even count it as like one of my wildest gigs. Like weirdest. Yeah. It was such a surreal, weird thing. And I looked it up. Like, when you told me about it this morning, I was like, I wonder if I could. I can't even find, like, a news article. So, I don't know. But I, like, so I was young. I was, like, 19, 20, maybe. Yeah. Was not, like, experienced at all playing out. So, I'm trying to. I've moved to Charleston. I'm in Charleston. I'm trying to go out and play gigs, right? And there's this brewery right downtown. It's not there anymore, but it used to be this brewery right downtown. And you walk in, and they had like the I don't know what you call them, the vats.
Yeah, the big, you know, brewer, like the brewer
big,
things.
Big vats right there. And you know, they had stairs, I guess, going up to their offices with like this see-through stairway kind of thing, like glass walls where you could see people walk up to the offices. But that wasn't public. You know what I mean?
Like, right up their skirts.
That's right.
No, I was hoping there was a poop moment.
There's no poop moment. Okay. I'm playing in the corner to all these, like, you know, drunk old men, and I'm trying to like play like Hotel California. I mean, it was probably god awful. Thank God there's no social media back then, because I cannot even imagine how bad it was. But I just remember it being pretty busy. We're downtown. This dude comes in like a long coat, right? Like a trench coat kind of thing, brown. kind of jogs up the stairs. And then there's like a boom. But no one really reacted, right? Like, I'm still playing my, like, kind of shitty, you know.
Hotel California. Cover,
right, you know.
Oh, this sounds bad.
Well,
I'll get ready.
The dude comes back down. Nothing really happens yet. Okay. Like, it takes a while. And then there's, like, a bit of a buzz. You know what I mean? Some authorities show up. And apparently, this guy had been fired earlier in the day. Was very disgruntled. Had a shotgun underneath that trench coat, goes upstairs, shoots up some shit, leaves, and it took a while for everyone to realize. Now, I don't know, like, if anyone died. I don't know exactly what happened. I know that I never went back to that place. I know that they never called me again. And I just remember it, like, burning this weird sort of, like, surreal, like, what? oh my God. But it's funny because, like, I don't really think of it as my craziest gig moment because as far as me being on stage, yeah. the trauma was all from me just being horrible. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the man maybe, like, killing
people's lives. I know. Yeah. I was about to say, it just blew my mind that I was like, I have never, for one, I've never witnessed a, you know, murder scene.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just remember, and everybody kind of paused. You know, because you just don't expect, right? Like, and it, yeah, I don't know, but
yeah. There's no shortage of good Johnny Rob stories.
I know, like that. Every road like, trip, I thought I heard them all, and then it's like, new.
You know, yeah.
That's why we need to get like Keenan and Adrian on the podcast.
That's pretty. Yeah. Point. I did get a response back on Reverb.
Oh,
it's a long one.
Oh, God. He's
trying to get out of shipping.
Is he?
Yeah, totally. It ain't gonna happen.
What, you
read it? I don't need to read it all because it's sort of private, but it's the idea is like I should have been honest about why I'm returning. It was really the issues with the guitar.
That's what he's saying now.
And then I shouldn't have to pay any shipping because it was damaged when I got it.
What?
No, there's records of it.
You would say that. You would just say, "Hello, hey guys, my guitar was screwed up."
I can't or you be short.
Run up some stairs and start blasting.
I know. I was like, we better be careful. Anything can happen.
So, anyways, I don't know why that is. That should not be funny at all. It's some huge shot. I mean, like,
whenever you told me that, I was just, I don't know. It was a bit of funny laughter. Humor. And then, it's
but it's
like,
also like, oh my God, when you start thinking about it. Yeah.
No, it's insane.
That's really odd. Yeah, that guy's obviously.
Do you not know what happened at all then?
I don't really know what happened. Because
do you know about the time? I'm going to do a little quick research on this.
About what?
I'm trying to find
when
the
this
story
happened. Okay.
Do you remember the era, Johnny?
God, it was early 2000s, like, you know, 01, 02.
Okay. So
and it was South End Brewery.
South End.
Which is, I don't know when they closed. They've been closed
brewery
for a long
in
time.
Where?
In Charleston, South Carolina.
Sean, you got one?
Do I have one? I do. Yeah, okay, yeah, I do. Never mind, it just hit me. I was like, I know I got one really bad one. What was it? And then it all comes like back, like a, I don't know, I guess like PTSD. So, I had a bad band. And we technically kind of had two first gigs, right? So our first real gig was in an Applebee's. That kind of sucked, whatever, that's boring. Our
Applebee's?
Real, yes.
That's epic.
It was insane. I'll just put it that way.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
How is there even an Applebee's that has a gig? I don't even understand that.
I'll tell you one better.
There's a Harris too.
Not only were we playing at the Applebee's, but we didn't have a singer, so we were just like a jam band, right?
Cool.
Well, our actual first gig that was set up before that one that went on after the Applebee's gig was at a Relay for Life event in Sanford.
Oh, yeah.
And it... At first, you know, we were all kind of like, whatever, you know, it'll be whatever it is. When we go out there, there's actually a stage set up. It's insane. It's like all this nice sound equipment and everything, and we get up on there, and it's like, okay, cool. And there's like people around. We're like, this is pretty cool, you know. This is a first, you know. So we go and we start playing, and I had a guitar player in my band, who I guess I can save his name to save him some face, but. For whatever reason, this guy was a little off his rocker at all times, and we decided that he would be the one with the microphone to announce anything out to the crowd, right?
Well, that was your fault.
That was absolutely our fault and our first mistake. And we had a manager at the time, too. I know this is all very strange for a bad band. And in the middle of our set, he looks out into this crowd, and I guess to help paint the picture, too, is that it's in the middle of a track, and around the track, there's all these bags. With people who have passed away the previous year from cancer and stuff like that, with candles in them and stuff, you know, and it's like, okay. And he leans into the mic, and nobody's at the stage because they are walking laps for the Relay for Life. And he goes, man, my crowd's really dead. Why aren't you guys up here at the stage?
Ouch.
And just like, I think the sound guy actually like cut us off for like it's 5 minutes. Somebody came walking up and they're like, hey, you better shut your fucking mouth. It's like, and then, like, we go back and we're like, okay, well, let's just play our other two songs and get the hell out of here. But yeah, he completely sunk it and was like, oh,
that's awesome,
yeah.
Though.
This crowd's really dead. And, like, afterwards, we're like, what the fuck were you thinking? What's the problem?
Like, two of my worst gigs ever were also at Relay for Life.
I think bands probably shouldn't play Relay for Life.
Well, it's because they get bands who are like, oh, you guys have been a band for 30 minutes and you're all 17? Yes. Awesome. Yes. Come on. Yes. We got the perfect gig. It pays nothing. It'll be a pain in the ass.
That's
great.
That's exactly what it was.
It's almost like that's not a gig.
Yes.
Still looking for it. Apparently, there's been lots of times people have been...
shot.
Well, there was another one. There was another, like, right around the time. No, I know. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I feel like they keep it on the down low because it's nice and touristy. But there was a place, like, there was a really nice restaurant, like, right on the water that the same thing happened. A dude showed, he went to, this was around the same time. The guy walked to, like, the back, like, loading dock thing where they would get their fresh seafood and, like, open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shot some folks because they had fired him or something, so.
That's really, honest, that it's thing. A very postal situation.
Seems bad, yeah. Seems poorly, poorly done.
Extremely bad. I don't know. Seems like Charleston's a dangerous place from what you're telling me.
I mostly enjoyed it.
All right, Baxter, I need to hear a bad story.
All my bad ones are good stories. Like, my favorite memories of gigging are the bad ones. It's kind of like your bad reviews.
Well, there are some really fun bad ones that I remember fondly now.
I mean,
you know?
I think it's probably the worst gig, but it was so much fun. It's because there's a trick at the end. So it was when I was on tour with Richard Lloyd, and we were in Detroit. I don't remember where we were playing. We were playing like a 2-story place. Things were going a little haywire before. We get sort of set up. We do the sound check. Everything sounds great, but you know, Richard, I can't find Richard, and it was sort of my job to keep an eye on him. I'm just make sure he doesn't get in too much trouble. And I'm going to talk to Richard about this again because it's a little blurry because this was a long time ago. It was like 2006. Mm. And he's downstairs at the bar and he's been getting drinking. I think he's hitting on or talking to that young lady, you know, much younger than he. But she's probably beautiful. And then I guess the boyfriend doesn't like it. And there's a crowd gathering because it's Richard. He's sort of known. And then I think at some point, someone's pants were off. And there was a member being shown, and then I don't think the one boyfriend took kindly to this and pushed somebody, and then I think Richard took a swing at the boyfriend, but the boyfriend ducked. But fortunately, right behind the boyfriend, his girlfriend was there, so his fist directly connected with the girlfriend's face, and sent her down. Then I hear people just diving for him, I grab Richard, throw him upstairs, get him in the green room. And I hear that we're calling the cops. I'm like, okay, everyone get out of here. Get our equipment and get out of here. So they loaded it into the van in the back. And I was like, I'll stay as we're getting the last stuff out. The police show up. They come and talk to me. They're like, hey, where the hell is the guy that punched the girl? I'm like, well, officer, I just don't know. We're from North Carolina. We're just a bit dumb, confused. It's Detroit and all that's happening up here is fine. He's like, goddamn Hicks. And he walked off. And then that was the end of my gig. We didn't play. It was a wonderful experience, though. There's a penis. There was a woman punched in the face.
It's all
the same place that Jack White beat that dude senseless.
You're not talking about the Black Keys guy, are you?
No, I don't know. It was somebody. No, it was before that. Okay. It was well before the Black Keys. It was like he beat some dude's face pretty hard, like Jesus. To a pulp. Because, you know, Jack's from that hood. And these are the places. These are his stomping grounds. This is a very White Stripes place.
Yeah,
it was a cool venue. I was very bummed to play. Cause it was like upstairs, a very big loft thing. I don't remember the name of it at all, but it was...
Soiled it.
It was all right. I got to be there for a couple hours, have a couple beers, and watch a fight break. That was
kind of penis.
What's your
kind of love seeing a penis?
Highlights.
You don't get to see a woman get punched in the bar very often. No, but, you know, and
maybe especially in like bars, Will Ferrell campaign fashion. You know, like the movie where he like swings and the guy ducks and he hits the baby.
This was like a movie moment. I was watching it like unfold. Like this is The Hangover, and it was great. Every bit of it. I was like, this is awesome. This is my life. I'm experiencing it. And
isn't it kind of funny? Like, there's a few moments I've seen like that from stage where, like, you see, because you get to the point where, especially if you're doing like these long country gigs, 3-4 hours, right? And you're in some random town. Like, one time I was in Kearney, Nebraska. Kearney, I don't know how you say it. At this place called Cunningham's Journal. And, you know, you're out there and you kind of go into autopilot, right? So you're just watching the crowd. You just kind of like, you know, sometimes time just like slows and you see these amazing like moments. One time we're in Kearney, Nebraska, right? We're on the way to Denver and I ended up flying out of Kearney the next day because Christy was going to go into labor early with Elijah. They were going to induce labor because she had like preeclampsia. So it was this whole trip was very, very eventful, right? And right after this happened, Adrian had eaten these weird sandwiches in this cooler with no ice. We were like, "Don't eat those sandwiches, Adrian." And he spent like the next 3 days like puking in a bucket and other things, like trying to get through gigs. But before all of that, before I had to fly home last minute, we're hanging out at this place. It's a great venue, by the way, pretty classy, called Cunningham's Journal. And it we're sitting there, we're eating dinner there early, like way before we play. And there's this old guy, probably, I don't know, 65, 70 years old. Just the life of the bar, right? Going around, he's talking to everybody. He's like beat cancer, you know, so he's out like celebrating. And he's talking to this table of these younger, like 20-something year old girls. They're all, you can tell they're all ready to party. Like he's over talking to us. And then he's like mingling with it. He's just like the thing connecting everybody, right? So we're talking to them all. We're like, "Oh yeah, we're playing later tonight. Make sure you hang out, blah, blah." So we eat dinner. We go back. We change clothes. We come back. We're playing. Well, this old dude is here, right? And he's dancing. He's doing all this stuff. We're on stage, we're playing. And the way we used to do it is like the singer would take a break and we would do like a rock set, like the rest of the band. So I would sing a handful of like Skinner songs or whatever, yeah. Right?
Black Crows.
Yeah, just Johnny's all, old staple, all the things, the old handles. And Clark Singleton, who I think we will talk to on here at some point, who is Jerry James Nichols' bass player now. He was on this gig. Anyways, we're playing. I see this guy who is the life of the party, is dancing with one of these younger girls, right? But now their huge, like, football player-looking boyfriends are here. And I just see this big beast of a man come up and grab his old dude's shoulder and just lay him out, punched him into these old, like, whiskey barrels that were, like, part of the decoration. You know what I mean? But the amazing part, though, I am literally in the middle of singing Give Me Three Steps. So I'm singing, like, cutting around a place called, you know what I mean? Like, where the dude comes in, and, like, I'm singing it. And it's just unfolding.
It's happening in front of me.
It's just happening. And everybody in the band kind of, I was like, "Keep playing, keep playing." So we're just playing Give Me Three Steps. Well, there's these bikers, and they don't like that the big dude hit the old guy. So he comes up and just lays out the football player dude. And then it just turns into friggin' like World War III Royal Rumble. And then we do kind of like, we're like, "Okay, maybe we should." But we're like, thank God we're in like a high stage. Like stage is like chest high at this place, you know?
Yeah.
Clears the bar. The manager, he's like, "Guys, I'm really sorry. This is normally a really nice place. I'm really sorry." And I'm like, "Sir, don't be. This was fantastic. This is the greatest moment of my life." I've seen a few of those, like bar clearing fights where we just kind of like sit on the stage and watch. But that was the most surreal because I felt like we were the soundtrack being, you know.
You're like the Blues Brothers. We
were just amazing. Blues Brothers. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That sounds incredible.
Derek like owns a venue, so I mean, have you had any like terrible experiences in there yet?
Not yet. We're still young.
I mean, you've had some like some funky open mic type things, maybe.
Yeah, Sean almost beat an old man up one time.
For no reason except for Sean being Sean.
All the
too.
People on this podcast are going to assume that I'm an asshole because that's all the context. I just beat the shit out of an old guy.
Yep. He was like, "I've had it. I got to take my anger out somewhere." Bam.
He just came up and he said, "I'm going to play Hurt by Johnny Cash." And I was done. I was like, "It's not a Johnny Cash song."
It's usually people that play harmonica or people that play violin.
Yes.
At the blues jam that I just want to murder.
So this harmonica gentleman, as Derek is saying, he, for whatever reason, felt like he had special privileges because he played harmonica. And he wanted to scream in my face and tell me how he was going to play next too. And, you know, he wanted to play with his friends and he didn't get to play with his friends. And, you know, I was trying to explain. I was like, "Well, the way that we run our blues jam is at random. So if you wanted to play with your friends, you should have let us know beforehand." Well, he's still screaming in my face. Well, spit is coming out of this old bastard's mouth and hitting me in the face. And I'm not much of like a true like germaphobe, but spit on my face from somebody else is not a good thing.
Old man spit.
Old man spit.
That's not even germaphobe. That's like respect.
Though. Yes.
Like, and don't spit in my face. And if you're close enough to be spitting in my face, you're too close.
And there's no reason to be screaming over playing the harmonica either, in my mind. So Jonathan's right next to me to my left, and we're standing here, and he's doing that. And about that time, that's whenever the spit comes out of his mouth and kind of hits my face. And I, like, pop my hand on the table, and I say, "Listen." I was like, "You got to fucking stop." He's like, "You got one more fucking time to scream and spit flat out of your mouth and hit me in the face, I was like, hey, we're going to have a fucking problem. And then that's whenever Jonathan leans in, hey, hey, it's done. It's over. You're not playing next. We'll get you in later on if you want to stick around. And the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he was like patting my shoulder and trying to hug up on me and shake my hand. I was like, no.
And then he left.
Yeah.
And then left he, like, in a little left. Huff.
Yeah.
And made it's a funny Facebook post.
Because
comment.
As of recent, I was looking at renting a place, and the guy who was also there with him is the same dude who kind of screwed me over on this rental that I was looking at, too. So
there's a connection.
There is. And all these old guys, you know, I think there comes to a certain degree where, I don't know. I came up around people who is like, it's the job of the older man to help out the younger man and be, you know, good. And, you know,
it's funny because we have those guys around, too.
We
do. Those guys come to the Blues Jam and the open mics, and they're amazing. You know what I mean? And they you can tell they take it really seriously. Like, hey, these new musicians or just younger people in general, we'd like to help them and, you know, make sure they know how things work and blah, you know.
Yeah.
And then
you got these guys. Dudes. Yeah. Because this guy, of course, he's screaming at me like, oh, well, I've played on a blues cruise. I've been on a blues cruise. Well, like you're talking about, there's these other set of guys who are just like, hey, you know, this is how we do things. We would love for you to do it. And especially whenever it comes to younger people coming into all this, you know, it's huge. I think those guys are awesome. I love those dudes. Whenever you got guys like this who ruin it because they think that there's some kind of, you know.
Gus has been a negative podcast today, hasn't it? So, speaking of that, let's jump back to Reber for a minute. So what was that one thing you said about, like, showroom stuff or something? Say that.
Well, the guys who would, like, want to get a guitar and then have it and then, like, play it and then bitch about it and send it back is the same guy who, if he came in the store and saw a guitar that had a fingerprint on it, he'd bitch about that, too.
Like, not
it's like, sir, well, we can't send you a guitar and you return it, and then it all, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they want, they want it both ways.
Or they
ways
want a guitar that's been never been played by anyone.
Right.
I'll just read you one of the sentences. I can't justify spending $2,400 on a listed new guitar and receive a showroom played instrument.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, any real guitar player knows you want a guitar that you can put your hands on. Like, you don't want one new out of the box.
And also, you know,
I mean,
if it goes new out of the box and it's not QA, I mean, even Sweetwater has to play it.
They take it out.
Through their 55 check.
Yeah, that's
make sure the strings are on there.
Yeah. That's right. The guitar comes out of the case, and you know.
No, and I looked at the pictures too on this one. It was cracking me up.
Oh yeah, if you look at the pictures, you're honestly just.
I'm still flummoxed.
Yeah. You're like, what am I looking at here? Yeah, that's the nut of a guitar.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just
that's
funny.
The pickup of a guitar.
It's just funny that someone thinks that a smaller shop like us with like high end things that we would everything we would have, even the one kind of stuff that we have a duplicate in the back in a box that we just go grab.
Now, if it's a GS like, Mini, we do have a duplicate.
Well, yeah, or Squire, we do have that. If you want that, cool, awesome. But you know, we might have it for an American original. But
you know what the truth is that same guy who would be like that, he also wants to be able to come down here, pick it up, play the hell out of it. You know, for 2 hours.
Those are the guys that have to be like, hey, sir, could you watch your pick? Could you take your zippers off, please?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Comes in with like a leather jacket with all kinds of buttons.
And I bet this guy's a nice guy, too.
Maybe.
I bet he is.
Or he's an asshole.
I know. I like to think so. I think he's just maybe, right. I think maybe he bit off more than he can chew with this purchase.
That could be true.
I looked at his buying record. It's mostly cheap stuff.
Right.
Like some Squires and lots of pedals. And he got this fancy guitar. He was hoping it would be the end all be all. He just didn't like it. He just didn't want to get stuck for any of the shipping. In that case, like, you shouldn't buy from independent shops, like, because we can't afford just to send you a guitar for you to try, and then you send it back, you know, like, and like, we're not asking him to pay for all the shipping, and he thinks it's going to be, and people think the shipping is going to be outrageous, too, because they ship guitars through UPS stores, we ship guitars every day, we have great rates.
I believe that we sent him a label that all he did was pay for.
We did everything for him.
Which would be a much slower rate.
I got him sent the RA and everything. Yeah, it was like super smooth. He's like, wow, I got it already. And he put it on the box and shipped it out the same day.
The magic of the internet.
I know. I'm like, wow.
It's amazing.
It's just funny because it's all the catchphrases of, and it seems like he's trying to be nice, but it's just funny. I find that.
Well, I saw it. I just was going down the rabbit hole the other day. I don't even remember how I got to this video. Someone had posted it. It was in one of the, like, you know, the gear pages on Facebook. A dude made this rant video, and I mean, it's got like 12 views, so I was like, you're number 13.
You're number 12.
But he made this rant video about getting a guitar from musician's friend, and no love here for musician's friend particularly, but he's like, I just, you know, it wasn't in its original box. It wasn't in the box from Fender. And he's like, I just feel like once this guitar goes out and it's been hanging it's a used guitar. And like that, that was his whole thing.
So and if you see a car at the car lot, is it used?
Yeah.
If anyone's ever test driven it.
If it's on the car, right. it had to come off the trailer. I want the car straight out of the factory.
If somebody test drove it, you know, and coming off the trailer, like you're saying,
that takes
it's been driven.
Or they're going to move them. How do you think they move them? They have a giant car crane that moves them at the car.
But they don't?
Yes.
Carvana, they do.
Well, yes.
It's like a vending machine.
Yeah. That's is that mine. Where you people want your guitars from? A vending machine? Is that what it is?
Apparently.
My guitar has never been touched, never been played.
Well, you know, and we've talked about the QC thing before where it's like we're the last line of defense on a QC kind of thing, right? And this guy, I do feel like this is a special case where his standards are so high that no matter what, it would never be met. We all know these people who get a guitar, and no matter what, this guitar could not, if it was brand new in the box and we never opened it up and checked it and sent it to him, there would be an issue and he would absolutely need to come back.
That is an interesting thing because I think I've probably done this where I anticipated something so much and it was a thing I didn't really understand, like Baxter's kind of saying, that I psyched myself out and it could just never live up to the expectation of what I wanted to be. I've done that with guitars, I think. Because, you know, now I know, like, okay, guitars move. They're wood. You know, when they're nice guitars, they're hand-built. There are things about them.
There's a guy making this.
Right. Yeah, so it is possible to set such a crazy standard that you're just never happy. You always have to have the next thing. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's great. Nothing's, you know, everything's let down. That's
some of these pictures I just can't even. I know, just using this one example. There's nothing wrong with anything.
Well, I've had those same guys.
I'm so confused.
You know, and I don't think we've talked about this on. Or yeah, we did talk about it on the last podcast where you know people get Taylors or whatnot, and they're like, "Oh, there's scratches all over the pickguard." It's like, no, that's the way the plastic film. Looks. Yeah, there's a plastic film over it. You got to peel it off and. All you know, 10 out of 10, well, we get it back.
Let me jump into the positive world for a minute, because like 99% of the times, it's awesome. The experience, most people get their guitars, it's a super thrilling experience. Yeah. We get to have communications afterwards.
There's like usually one guy every once in a while. That's it.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting this to be that guy because we were being so kind and generous with him, and but unfortunately, he's trying to do that route. But we have a good. It's always important to keep records of your communications. Yeah. Don't delete them. It's all saved here in Reverb. That's one of the great things of Reverb. But people often try to like circumvent that by being dishonest in the upfront of trying to do a return.
Yep. Just like he was of like, oh yeah.
And he was honest. I think then he started things like, oh God, they're gonna hit me shipping.
That's right.
And he didn't realize it until way later in there like that it's not gonna be bad either.
Yeah.
It's not a bad shipping. Like but he didn't realize until later that he thought it was going to be this crazy number, and he just doesn't want to have to pay. He thinks it's going to be hundreds of dollars. It's like, we're not shipping to like Tibet,
right?
Yeah.
A mountain
shipping to Illinois or something. I don't know. It's like the Midwest
up to the guru. Yeah, no,
it ain't much. Like we ship guitars every day. We get good rates, my friend. You're going to be okay. Yeah. You know, like, and I looked at it. He's got good. He's had good buying transactions. You know, before it's a shame.
Maybe it is what you said. Maybe he's used to buying like a few pedals.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Lowering guitars, and
if we were to talk about reverb and like reviews and stuff like that, I will never forget the time that we had sent out a guitar, and a guy got it, and he just simply didn't care for the guitar, and he sent it back. Similar situation, but he was kind of cool. You know, he's fine with paying the shipping, and in his review. He left a 1-star review and he said, "I'm sorry, I only give 5-star or 1-star reviews, so this is the best that I can do, you know, what? Just because I didn't like the guitar." I was like, "Who the fuck are you? Like, what, sir, what world also, do you
we
live
didn't
on?
Build the guitar."
I know. I'm like, what? Like,
you're rating your transaction, like, that though, is your the, interaction with us.
Yes, that's like one of the only negative reviews I think we've ever gotten on Reverb. And it was because he didn't like a guitar that he bought. I was like,
a subjective.
Yes, thing. I'm like,
you. Wait, did we respond to his review?
I think we did, and we were like, we did, you know, I think we gave him a 5-star or whatever just to, you know, be like, well, kindness is key here, but that drove me insane. I was like, are you serious?
That is tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because like, you kind of want to be like, ah.
I only give 5-star, 1-star reviews. I'm sorry. If it would have been, you know, something I loved, I was like.
Well, and it's funny because it's like what Baxter says, like 99.9% of our interactions here are wonderfully positive.
Yeah.
And a lot of those wonderfully positive ones, like they kind of go there's not a ton of effort on our part other than like just normal, you know, it's just kind of how we run things, right?
Yeah.
But then we get a guy like this where we're really trying to bend over backwards. And that's where it always gets
And he's just like, sorry, bub.
We're like, well, this wasn't our fault, but let's go the extra mile. Let's help this person. And then they're like,
it's just like the bad gigs. It's just like a bad date. It's just like a bad marriage. It's just, you can,
can't make it work.
It's the bad ones you remember.
It is the bad ones.
Like, I don't remember all the good gigs.
I just had a great gig.
You know, I don't remember all the good dates. Like, you had a great time. But the bad ones that go haywire.
This is semi funny, too, that whenever I was younger, my parents divorced whenever I was 8. Not that big of a deal. But what was funny is I was talking to my uncle about it. And I was like, I just don't understand. It's like they don't talk about any of the good times at all. He's like, well, that's why they call it a fucking divorce. It's like, oh, I guess you're right.
That's a good point. And unfortunately,
well, there you go.
We're going to have a consumer divorce here, I guess.
Words of wisdom.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the end, I think.
Is that the end?
We didn't get any stories from Derek on Weird and Wild
Kids. He's keeping mom.
Come on, Derek. I know you got at least one. You did some college gigging. Nothing.
Well, I was thinking he could do it. He has the rooster gigs now.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we're going to have to revisit
that. We haven't been open long enough to have anything, you know, mega wild happen just yet.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's been no real, like, train wrecks.
We're hitting, like, 6 months of being open right about now.
Yeah, we're at the... Yeah, I guess we are at the 6 month.
Once you get the guy from Bones Owens that he played with come in, that's what I want.
Well, you know, guys, we could guarantee... The crazy situation if I book Aaron Carter.
That's what I'm talking about. That too.
Like,
that's what I want.
That would be once I start getting those artists with the face tattoos.
I was about to say Aaron Carter has a face tattoo.
Do you need me to get some face tattoos for Thursday night? The house gigs, the house band gigs. Is that going to be the new requirement?
Mike Tyson.
You guys can play on Thursdays, but you're going to need a face tattoo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe like a little teardrop. If only you guys could have seen the visual there.
On that note, take us home, Johnny.
We're going home.
Yeah, I know.
We're going home.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Yay.
I feel like we're on the radio.
It is a lot.
Really not. We're just sitting here talking shit as usual.
It's like radio.
It's the way to go. Happy days. Yeah. Happy days always.